You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Aotearoa New Zealand is a constitutional monarchy, which means the reigning sovereign is our head of state, represented by the Governor-General. There are those in New Zealand that believe that we should be a republic, and Dr. Dean Knight, Associate Professor at the Law at Victoria University of Wellington and Constitutional Advisor for the Group New Zealand Republic, is one of those. I just want to apologise, first of all, for the buzzing that comes through in this interview. I was having connection issues, and yeah, I started off by asking Dr. Knight about what it would mean to make New Zealand a republic and what it would look like.
Well, I think cutting ties with the monarchy in my truly pretty straightforward when you look at what the monarchy gives us or perhaps doesn't give us. So there's really two things. First, they give us a head of state, a senior civil servant or sovereign that signs our laws and formally rubber stamps all the decisions that are made by the government that need to be implemented in the law. But actually, in reality, all that heavy lifting, all that work of senior civic officer is actually done by Governor General, Dame Patsy Reedy. So the monarchy doesn't necessarily do that work of being that senior bureaucratic. The other thing they give us is this idea of the crown, which is again a bit of a woolly concept, because that what we mean by the crown is it's a legal body that sort of manifests or represents what the state in its different forms, whether it's the state as executive government, the state as including the judiciary and other things like that. And those of us that are interested in New Zealand becoming an independent state and having a New Zealand head of state say, well, in reality, we're a republic today because the Governor-General does all the work. We're not relying on Queen Elizabeth to pull out her pen and do all the scribbling. And in reality, when people on the ground are here are talking about the crown, they actually know that we're actually the beehive and the ministers in it by and large. So
are you saying that the head of state, if New Zealand was a republic, would be the Governor General, or would it come under some different system?
Well, the constitutional pencil was a powerful one, and we could really develop it as we want. But I think if we want to actually bring this type of change on, I think the most simple and effective way to do it is to say we've got the Governor General doing all the heavy lifting of what would be the Queen, the Sovereign anyway. Why don't we delegate them to their own office, the most senior office? We don't need to call them President, we can call them Head of State. We could give them a Māori name. The Samoan Head of State is a name in Samoan as well. And we've got that person doing the job, and we might say at least for the transition period we'd want them to continue doing that on similar terms, because this type of transition is reflecting the reality that that all that work's done in New Zealand, and it's just we don't need that sort of pomp and ceremony, that sort of old-fashioned royal baggage that would otherwise cloak it.
Yeah, a lot of the Governor-General's role at the moment is a lot of ceremonial, I suppose, colonial royal baggage, as you just put it. How would the role of Governor-General be different, and what would that role look like?
Well, on the one hand, it wouldn't be, because in terms of their constitutional functions, we'd expect, I think, them to do exactly the same thing. So to act on advice of the government, to be very sort of residual and modest in their sort of guardian supervision function of government. So from that constitutional thing, it's not a big constitutional change, because it's actually keep doing what you're doing. But what it unlocks, I think, becoming giving them that most senior office in their own right and cutting ties with the monarchy, is it lets them develop that sort of New Zealandness, that indigenous flavour and character of the head of state office. And that's been done a little bit under by Governor Wiz at the moment, but it's still a little bit stuffy, because it's done in the name of the Sovereign and the Queen. But we might expect that a head of state in New Zealand might more vividly embrace to our Māori matters and bring them into their day-to-day rituals and ceremonies and things, and also to a more fully recognise the role of New Zealand in the Pacific and sort of, in many respects, better mirror the nation to which they serve.
Would we be giving up any sort of benefits with stopping being a constitutional monarchy? Would we suffer any consequences or risk making the UK angry?
I mean, from a diplomatic point of view, I think everybody recognises that these are choices for peoples to make. Some people sort of say, "Oh, it's going to be a tragedy. We're going to lose our special connection with Britain and that Commonwealth connection." Well, a couple of things: we can still stay in part of the Commonwealth in the Commonwealth even if we become it. We can still go to the Commonwealth Games. I think it's about 30 odd of the countries in the Commonwealth are republics already, independent states already. So we wouldn't lose anything on that front. And the reality is that our relationship with Britain, look at Brexit or trade negotiations or which queue you go into when you land in Heathrow, New Zealand has long lost any special sense of privilege or connection. What we're saying is, let's just recognise the reality is that we're a good international citizen and we'll build those relationships with the government rather than based on this sort of mythical idea that we have this shared sort of specialness through a shared prince or princess or queen or king.
Yeah, you speak about those mythical ideas and the importance of symbols as well. Why are symbols important?
I think symbols tell us stories about the nature, the operation, and the legitimacy of the different offices. And I think for many Republicans like me, we look at what's the royal symbols and say they're outdated. They don't reflect who we are as a community, and they don't recognise our ambition as our society, which, and there's no criticism, actually, of the royal family that, they're not where New Zealand is at today. The reality is they're not embedded in a day-to-day basis in the communities that make up New Zealand, whether it be the Māori communities, Pacific communities, Asian communities, whatever. There's something special in New Zealand that's magic and magical and it's just awkward when we've got this sort of, anachronistic sort of imperial colonial sort of symbols stifling and that type of richness that we see in New Zealand. So, I think what we like to have happen is that our symbols match the reality of who we are. And I just think at the moment we've got a bit of a disconnect when we throw back to Britain 10,000 miles away in a system which I don't think would be the choosing of many people today.
Are there similar conversations going on right now in like similar constitutional monarchies like Australia and Canada?
Well, there's always those debates in Australia and the constitutional settings are actually a little bit harder to shake off the monarchy than New Zealand, I think. Because New Zealand's got a pretty simple flexible constitutional system. That means this type of change would be entirely consistent with the pathway of change over the last 50 years, where we've patriated, we've taken ownership of our senior civic office and our institutions in the way that governors general used to be appointed by British ministers and used to be British aristocrats. Nowadays, Dame Patsy Reddy, Sir Jerry Mantiparai, they're very much they're very much one of us. And so in many respects, it's easier for New Zealand to pragmatically continue that type of evolution. So the conversations are quite strong in the Caribbean nations, and I think we may see some movement there in some of those nations, and they may beat us off the block on them. But that could be a catalyst for some of us to say, actually, the time is coming, and certainly with the inevitability that the Queen's reign will end in the not-too-distant future, so it's going to be a timely time to think about whether we want to move to a system which ultimately has King Charles at the head.
What happens with our currency? Do we take the Queen off our currency, or?
There's all those that the symbols of the monarchy. We deal with that quite pragmatically and eventually get through. But actually, it's not the big issue. The big issue is getting the senior civic office, the head of state, right first. And I guess the other thing that worries a lot of people is, what does this mean for Te Tiriti? Because if we cut ties with the crown, the British crown, what does that mean for the treaty relationship? And I can give them a lot of comfort that actually it's simple and straightforward. Under the main model for transition, which is a simple one, the treaty obligations are currently in the name of the crown, but in reality fall on the ministers and cabinet to honour. They would continue and be transferred to the new state body and continue to be honoured or be the burden on ministers and the government of the day. The reality is that Māori, Iwi and Hapu know that when they speak of the Crown in 2021, it's nothing, not very to do with Buckingham Palace, and it's all to do with the Beehive, because it's ministers and officials that are sitting across the table from them in discussions about settlements or ongoing relationship issues.
That was Dr. Dean Knight, Constitutional Advisor for NZ Republic. And that buzzing sound that you're hearing throughout that, very annoying, but it was just a connection issue with just that interview, and it won't be continuing.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.